Everything here set up. We're going to be headed toward Ephesians in a moment, but we're going to make our confession as we do. Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Just a moment here. I'm excited about today, and I'm excited about what God has done in my life and what he's going to be doing in your life today. How many expect God to do something good for you? Say amen.
Amen.
And he's never disappointed you, has he? He has not. He has never, ever disappointed us. And so I give him all praise and I give him all glory. Let's make our confession today. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say indestructible, incorruptible. There are forces in this world today that want to destruct the Word of God. There really are. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, want to destruct the Word of God, but it is indestructible. Because God is good to us, and he keeps his word to 1,000 generations, the Bible says, which is in all eternity. And so, let's look at the book of Ephesians chapter 1 as we get ready to sort of see which way we're going. I just want to read this to you again, the text I've been reading for the last several weeks as I've been speaking to you on the authority of the believer. And you say, well, how long are you going to teach on the authority of the believer? Well, you know, Creflo Dollar has been teaching on grace for 14 years now, so I think I can do this for a few weeks for sure. But anyway, how long are you teaching on something? Till we get it. Till we get it. Till the Lord lifts the burden from your heart. That's when you stop. That's the thing about pastoring. The most difficult choice I ever make in my life basically is this, is what to minister to you. I can minister anything. You can preach on anything you want to preach on. I mean, you got a book full of stuff. But what? But what? And where does that come from? Not what I want, but what you need that the Holy Spirit tells me to speak to you. That's how you get a message. I've heard people say they heard a little catchphrase that I'd preach. Well, it might. Maybe it will, but who cares? It's what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. And every congregation is different in the life of the congregation and where we're at in our spiritual walk with God and how God wants to touch our hearts and lives. And so you let the Holy Spirit, the biggest deal is praying, getting the mind of the Lord on what he wants you to do and what he wants you to minister. And as that burden is there, you stay with it till it lifts. When it does, he'll take you another direction. But you know what? I'm going to see in our hearts and our lives the change that comes to pass when we recognize who we are in Christ Jesus. How many knows who you are in Christ Jesus? How many really knows who you are in Christ Jesus? Amen. How many wants the devil to know who you are in Christ Jesus? Amen. Absolutely. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice the prayer that Paul prayed, that he prayed for believers. This is the believer's prayer, if you want to put it that way. He says in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Make sure you're there in your Bible or your click on pad or whatever you've got. Verse 16. He said that he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So here's a prayer that you can pray. There's another one in chapter 3 that's great in Ephesians, but this is good in chapter 1 as well. When he says, here's the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. You see, what we need is the spirit of wisdom. Understand what I'm saying now. You don't need healing. You don't need money. You don't need good family relationships. All those things are good and needful. But what you need to get those is the spirit of wisdom. See? Don't just come to God with your hand out and say, God, give me, give me, give me, and I don't know what you give me or how to use what you give me, but I just think I want you to give me. No, if you get the spirit of wisdom, you can receive all that God has for you. Somebody say amen. So that's Paul's prayer. See, he could have prayed all this stuff for them. He could have prayed all kinds of things for them, but he didn't. He said, I'm praying that you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, a deep inner knowing in your spirit, man, in the knowledge of him. That you know the knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. We live in a world full of people that don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. Sadly, probably the majority of the recognized church, and I notice I chose those words carefully, but probably a majority of the recognized church in America don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. Sad situation. Verse 18, here's what he wants. The eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. How come? That you may know. Know what? That the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know what you've already inherited, what you already have, what is already your possession. Not what you need to go to God and ask for. He wants you to know what you've already got. Know what you already have. He wants you to know your inheritance. Everybody say, my inheritance. Somebody say, I got it. I got it. I got it. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness? Not just great, not just greatness, not just exceed, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. It all starts at that point. This is the authority of the believer, not the authority of the doubter. The authority of the believer. Not really in thinking about it in a secular way. Not the authority of Christianity in a secular way. I use that because some people sign up with what they are and their faith. Oh, well, I'm of the Christian faith. And some people say that don't know Jesus no more than they know the back of the wall. They don't know. But I'm talking about it in a religious way. The believer. This is available to the person who believed, to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. His mighty power works in believers. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ, and when he raised him from the dead, the most powerful display of God's power ever done was done when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That was exceeding greatness of his power. Great when he created the world. Great when he done a lot of other things. But when he raised Jesus from the dead against the will and the authorities of every devil and demon and Satan himself and wicked and fallen spirit, when he raised Jesus from the dead, all of those had to be conquered in that one event. It wasn't just bringing a dead body back to life again. That happened. But to get him up there, all of hell was against Jesus coming back from the dead. Because when Jesus came back from the dead, my victory and your victory was won at Calvary. Glory to God, I became victorious 2,000 years ago. That's the revelation of the knowledge that you need this morning. Not that what do I got to do to get it, but to recognize and have a revelation. You already got it. Somebody say, I got it. Oh, say it again. Say, I got it. Woo, I got it. I got it. The devil wants to say, oh, you don't have it. I got it. I got it. The devil said, who are you saying it for? I'm planning a lot for the devil's benefit. I like hear him here as well. Because I know I got it, and God knows I got it. He's the one who's got to be convinced that you got it. Notice, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Christ is now seated beside of the Father God in heaven onto his right hand in heavenly places. That's where he is seated. Verse 21, far above all principalities. That's another word for spiritual power and wickedness and all this kind of stuff. Far above principality, all powers and might and dominion. That's controlling authorities above all dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that one which is to come. Ain't no devil, ain't no demon, ain't no authority, ain't no power of hell that can come against the believer. Can't happen. Doesn't happen. Well, I know so-and-so. You know somebody who might have said such and such. But it's never happened. Anybody who's ever stood on the Word and exercised their authority in the Word of God has never failed. Now, I didn't say people haven't failed. People have. I failed a time or two. How about you? Amen? Well, I guess so. We have. But no, not ever when you've stood on the Word of God and in faith of what God has said for us to do and how to live and how to act. God's never failed. It's just thinking in the world, I've got a problem, talking about forgiveness and inner healing. Well, I've got to learn to forgive God. What you got to forgive God for? He ain't done nothing to you. Needs forgiveness. Anyway, far above all principality and power and might, dominion, every name that is named, all his world, that is world to come. And he hath put all things under his feet. Glory to God, all things under Jesus' feet, the saints would say. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Everything's under his feet. Well, notice, and gave him to be the head. He's the head of something. What's he head over? He's head over all things to the church. What is the church? Which is his body. You and me. Don't put yourself under the feet too. You're above the feet. Because you're the body. Isn't the body above the feet? I think so. There's my feet. Here's my body. So the body is above the feet. Christ is the head. Then there's the body. Then there's the feet. Then there's the devil. And so the devil, if he's under Christ's feet, he's under your feet. Why? Because you are the body of Christ. And so this idea that you know, the devil's got authority over you, he don't have any authority over you. You can give it to him if you want to. It's your choice, but don't you do it. But he doesn't have any authority over you. He can't make you do anything. Oh, a washed up, has been defeated devil? My goodness, he can't make you do anything. He's under your feet. Got devil all over the bottom of my feet. That's why you want to wipe your shoes off every time you come into the house. Wipe off the devil. You could read on and on and on. But that's the authority of the believer. When we recognize this prayer he's prayed, it's a revelation, an understanding to usward who believe. That's what needs to happen in our lives. We need to wake up to it and realize who we are in Christ Jesus. Look with me to Psalms chapter 115 and verse 16. Psalms 115 verse 16. Psalms 115 verse 16. Then we're going to go to Genesis. But Psalms 115 and verse 16. Now, have to understand something, because there's so much confusion in the world. God gets blamed on all kind of bad things. You can even look at insurance policies and they talk about, you know, you might get struck by lightning or wind hazard or hail damage or other acts of God. And they blame everything on God that goes wrong in this earth. I mean, if it's something bad, there's somebody willing to stand up and say foolish things like, well, I guess God just meant it to happen. Well, if that's what he wants, I guess I'll just have to bear it, and all this kind of stuff that they can go on with. I mean, it's just foolishness. But notice what has happened in the scripture. In Psalms 115 and verse 16, I'm going to read it to the Message Bible, but it's almost the same as you have it in your King James or New King James, whatever you have. Verse 16, the heaven of heavens is for God. But he put us in charge of the earth. Verse 16, Message Bible. He put us in charge of the earth. The heavens are God's. Now, he made the earth in the fullness thereof, but then he gave it to someone. He deposited it into the hands and into the decision-making of somebody else other than him. He's given it away. Notice again, verse 16. The heaven of heavens is for God, but he put us in charge of the earth. So who is in charge of the earth? Somebody tell me. How about I? Who is in charge of the earth? I am. A lot we, that's a good one, but I makes it your responsibility too. We, when we say we, it's always the other person sometimes doing all the work. You know how supervisors talk. What we're going to do today, we're going to move all these boxes from one side of the building to the other. And when the supervisor says that, you know what it means? It means y'all are going to do it, right? Okay. So what we need to realize is who we are. And so we are in charge of the earth. So when you look and you've seen junk happen in the earth, when you look at extreme poverty in the earth and different things, I was telling George this morning, I read yesterday a report that came out, and these reports come out, you know, several years later after I think all the data is completed. But from 2006 to 2016 in India, 271 million people moved, almost a third of a billion, moved from poverty into the lower classes of the middle class. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now you say, who did that? The people in charge of the earth did it. Why were they down there in that caste system in poverty in the first place? Because people were in charge of the earth. See, it wasn't God's fault that they were there. It was people's fault that had inequality and injustices to the workers and put them there. And so because of that, they were in a very bad place. But because of the booming economy that's been happening worldwide, they have been moved up now. And somebody say, thank God, people in charge. Why? People in charge of the earth. People in charge of the earth. All right, go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Let me show you something. In Genesis chapter 1, recognize how this thing happened. In Genesis chapter 1, God creates the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. He gives a detailed understanding of what took place regarding the earth as it follows, verse 3. Now, notice some of the things that he says. In verse 4, God creates a light, let there be light. Verse 4, he says, he had the light that it was good. Somebody say good. When God created this place, with light is concerned, it was good. Somebody say good. Good. Look at verse 10. He called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas, and he saw that it was good. What about the land and the earth? It was what? Somebody say it. Good. Good. Don't blame God for the bad. When he made this place, he made it good. Look at verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after its kind, every tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Good. This law of reproduction that's in the earth, it's a good thing. God made it good. It's good. Verse 18, go all the way down. And he made these lights to rule over the day and the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. He made it. It was good. And verse 21, and God created great whales in every living creature and moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl and every kind. And God saw that it was good. Oh, that's good too. So God's in the good-making business. Going down to verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind, everything that creeps upon the earth in his kind, and God saw that it was good. Go all the way down to verse 31, when we read, after the creation of man and of woman, verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. Very good, isn't it? So don't blame God for the bad earth, because he made it all good. Now, the thing that happened was this. When he made it, he said, and if you drop back to verse 26, God said, let's make man in our image, our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the land, and every creeping thing, everything upon the earth. See, he made it good and gave it to man. So if you want to blame somebody for the way this creation is run, the way the earth is run, what is happening on planet earth, don't blame God. Because he made it good, right? And then after he made it good, he gives it to man. So whatever's going on, good or bad, put it in the hands of man. Because when God made it good. Somebody say good. He made it good. And you can look at all those things. He made man and woman. He made it good. I'm looking at my wife this morning. Boy, don't she look pretty today. Oh, Lord, it's hard to even stand here. I was so mixed up, I didn't have my pulpit in the right center of the building. But anyway, it's there now. Somebody got a plumb bob, we'll drop it and see. But anyway, God is good, and everything he makes is good. Where's he going to get this bad stuff from anyway? It ain't in heaven. You know where the bad stuff is in the universe? On earth. That's why Jesus said, pray, thy will be done where? As it is where? In heaven. Ain't nothing bad up there. The bad down here where you and me at. And it ain't bad because God made it bad. You can't blame it on God. Somebody say amen. Now, as I was thinking about that, reading that, it had nothing to do with that, but my Bible study or that I was devotion that I was reading yesterday from Andrew Murray, a good reformed Dutch, if you will, Presbyterian fella, said this. He said, when God gave the world time or gave the world into the power of man. Now, this is written about, this particular devotion was probably written right around the end of the 1800s, right around 1880, right along in there when he wrote this. And he's saying, when God gave the world into the power of man, you know, Andrew Murray knew it way back then. Well, you still got people saying, well, God's in control. Who done that to us? God must have did it to destroy us all. God's the wicked one. He's the bad one. He's the mean one, according to what people say. Andrew Murray had this revelation 100 years plus ago. And not just him, there's others that had it. But he said, when God gave the world into the power of man, who was made in his own image, and who was to rule over it as a representative under him, it was his plan that Adam should do nothing without God. That was the plan. And God himself would do all his work in the world through Adam. See, maybe you hadn't heard that second statement. But he said it was God's plan that Adam should do nothing without God, to which we all hardly said amen. And the rest of the statement is God himself would do his work in the world through Adam. If you understand that one statement, that God himself would do all his work in the world through Adam, you understand why Jesus had to come. You understand the incarnation. You understand that God became flesh. Now you know why, if you believe that statement that Brother Andrew Murray made. Now you know why. He says, Adam was to be the owner, the master, and the ruler of the earth. I've heard modern day people who I love preach some of this, and people today get mad and throw their hands in the air and say, oh, hyper faith, all this kind of stuff. Pitch fits and whine, holler, and scream. Well, you know, why did they pitch it about a good established writer like Andrew Murray? I mean, he's saying the same thing. Amen. When sin entered the world, Adam's power was proven to be a terrible reality. For through him, the earth with the whole race of man was brought under the curse of sin. The fact that the world is full of sinners, and they all became sinners at Adam's decision, proves Adam was in charge of this whole thing. How many's got that? Say amen. That proves that Adam was in charge of this whole thing. The fact that people sin proves it. Because when God made it, nobody was sinning. Everything was what? Good. Right. Even when he made Adam and Eve, they were very good. See? And so something happened in Adam's life because he was called the federal head of all of us, of all of creation through Adam. And his decision, since he owned the earth and since he was in charge under God, that God had given it to him and it was his dominion, he gave his dominion to the devil. And that's where everything has kicked in bad. That's where it has happened. He went on to write in this, God's intense longing to bless seems in some sense to be graciously limited by his dependence on the prayers and intercessions of men on the earth. Somebody said, why pray? Because God don't have legal right in this place unless you pray. Oh, tear my clothes, throw dirt in the air. God doesn't have legal right on this earth unless men pray. Why? Because he gave it to men. And to prove that, when Adam made his choice was made and God honored his choice. Even though God didn't like his choice, he still honored Adam's choice to sin. And for you and I to get back in, quote unquote, the good graces of God, we must pray. We must speak to God. We must agree with what God has said in the Word, speak it out, decree it, decide it, and live our lives by it. And if we do that, you'll see God show up all in your life. You'll see him all over your life. But if you don't, everything can just go the way of the world, which is the way of Adam that he chose almost 6,000 years ago now. Okay? Wow. Christians need to realize that as their true nobility, their only power with God is the right to claim and expect that God will hear our prayers and our intercessions. You see, that's how we get God in the earth. And if we don't get that part of it, we just don't get it. Listen to this. When God had worked out the new creation through his Son, and Christ had taken his place on the throne, the work of the extension of his kingdom was given into the hands of men. Somebody said, well, why don't the church in America have more authority? Why don't God do something? God's already done something. It's them people sitting on the pews that ain't done what they're supposed to do. Don't blame God for it. When you see these crazy people, men dressed up like women with little kids crawling all over their body in public libraries in America, don't blame God for that. God never had any part to do with any of that. The only part he may ever have to do with that is somebody might get struck dead one of these days, but that might be the only part he'll have. Lord. The extension of the kingdom was given into the hands of men. All that Christ was to do in heaven was to be in fellowship with his people on earth. That's what Christ is doing in heaven. What we want Christ to do in heaven is do it all. Do it all. We want you to do it all. Lord, make me a better Christian. God ain't going to make you be a better Christian. God, make me quit cussing.
He ain't going to make you quit cussing. Make me quit having evil thoughts. He ain't going to make you quit having evil thoughts. Make me do this. Make me do that. God's not going to make you do anything. If he was, the great time to have done it would have been right back there when Adam and Eve stretched their hand toward that tree. That would have been a great time to make somebody do something if he's going to make anybody do anything. And he didn't. One thing you've got that you'll never escape, and that is a choice. We got a choice. Now, God rules the world and his church through the prayer, the intercession of his people. He calls for the intercession and the grace of his people. His grace, he has made his work dependent on them. God's work is dependent on you. His work, if you don't have his book, it's a great book. Devotional by Andrew Murray. That's just one day. You read 365 of them, you're going to get translated. Ah, Lord. Woo, God's good, isn't he? He is good. What I've been talking about, revelation. The knowledge of him. Revelation and the knowledge of him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. See, somebody in this earth needs to take control. Because the folks that's got it right now is working under a rebel spirit authority. They are not working under the designated authority that God gave to Adam, that Adam gave to the devil, that Jesus got back for us at the cross. And only in him do you have this authority. Only in Christ Jesus do you have it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, notice what the scripture says. Look at verse 1. I can't stand it. Look at verse 1. Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He has made me alive and made you alive. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. You see, we were under the dominion of the world. This world spirit in times past. You say, if I'm still walking that way, Pastor, you need to get saved. Because saved people don't walk like the world. Big culture shock, but it's true. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. That's not Jesus. That's not you. That's not me. It's speaking of the devil, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, the devil, that now works in the children of disobedience. See, if you're disobeying, you're a child of the devil, Jesus said. Of your works of the Father, the devil, you will do, he said. John chapter 8, verse 3, and whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past. What were we doing in times past? The lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh and of the mind. Why did we do that? Because we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Why did I sin when I sinned? Because it was my nature to sin. I never had to practice sinning. How about you? No, it's easy to sin. Then, it's hard now. It's easy to sin then. You are by nature. It's not hard to do what you are by nature. I don't have to tell my dog at home to sit there with them big eyes, look at me every time I get a piece of cheese out of the refrigerator and says he wants it. I told Shayla the other day, watch this. I said, what am I supposed to do? She said, give it to him. I said, and she said, I always do. That's something. Shayla's always done that throughout life. You give her anything, and if she has a dog that asks for it, that dog's going to get it. It doesn't matter what it is. I told her one time, why don't you just buy two candy bars, one for you and one for the dog? You know what the dog do? Eat his up and still beg for yours. That's what he'll do. By nature, you don't have to tell a dog to be a dog. He is a dog. You don't have to tell a cat to be a cat. He is a cat. You don't have to tell a sinner to be a sinner. They are sinners. You don't have to tell righteous people to be righteous. We are righteous. Yeah. Amen. Take it both ways. Just don't drill on the negative and not go to the positive. Take it both ways. Now notice, but verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, where he loved us. Thank you, Father, for what you did. And that's why you can't get religious and get righteous. Because religion will hand you a code of conduct and say, quit this, quit that, quit this, and quit that. They'll tell you a few things to do, but most of it they're going to tell you to quit. And you're going to look at it, you're going to take that quit business into your awful, unregenerated, devil-inspired nature and say, quit this, and your first thing you say is, I don't want to, and I can't, and I'm not going to, but I know I ought to.
And then you live under that conviction all your life and know what you ought to do, but you don't do it because you got the wrong nature. But when you get the nature of God in you and you get born again, you don't want to do it anymore. Remember what the old timers used to say when I got saved? I don't go where I used to go. I don't do what I used to do. I don't talk like I used to talk. I got this on the inside. Amen? Something changed. There's been a change in me. Not just religion, but a change on the inside. Thank God. That's what he said. God, who is rich in mercy, he's the one that did it. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us up. Everybody say it. Together. Together with Christ. By grace are you saved. In other words, keep your head on your shoulder, so to speak. Don't let it float away right now. He's raised us up together, verse 6. Made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ is by the right hand of Almighty God in heavenly places. That's where his authority rules and reigns from. When you and I are born again, at that point of being born again, not when you went through the prayer seminar, not even when you've listened to me teach about authority for the last 4 or 5 weeks, not then. You got your authority when you were born again. Now, you may not know it yet. That's why we're praying for you to get the revelation and understanding and your eyes get enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what he has on the inside of you. That's what we're praying for. And when you recognize, I don't have to sit down here and take all this stuff anymore. I don't have to be under the dominion of the devil. My Lord, I'm in dominion over him. And you recognize that, and your authority is hooked to Jesus in heavenly places, in Christ. In him we are. Amen? That's what he's saying. That's the authority of the believer in a nutshell of knowing who you are in Christ. Now then, when we look at this and we see these few things that we've talked about here, and I got my introduction out of the way, when we see this, it's true. All that's on post-it note A. And I don't do post-it notes. I typeset everything, make it look like it's been going in a book. But turn with me to Luke chapter 4. The problem is this. You say, well, if that's all like you say, Pastor, if that sounds well and good like you're talking about, this pie in the sky stuff you're sort of teaching. I'm not teaching about pie in the sky. I'm teaching about authority in the sky is what I'm teaching about. If that's all true, why am I in such a shape? Why is the world in such a shape? Why is all this stuff going on? Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. When Jesus is tempted of the devil, here's the account of a portion of that temptation. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. The devil takes him, Jesus, in this temptation, into a high mountain. Remember, wicked spirits in high places. High places. They got it wrong when they sing that song. I got friends in low places. You got friends in high places and don't know it. That's what's going on. That's what your problem is now. Then people in high places then got you down in that low place. But anyway, you can keep that tear in your beer all you want to. But anyway, verse 5. Taking him up into the high mountains, showed him all the kingdoms. What's a kingdom? A kingdom has a king over it. Somebody rules in a kingdom. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, it flashed before him. And he saw all these authorities and dominions and powers and might and the kingdoms of the world. Verse 6, and the devil said unto Jesus, all this power, power over these kingdoms, power that I own, power that I have, power that I have exercised, all this power I'll give to you. And the glory of them, for that's delivered unto me. Somebody had delivered the authority to the devil. And it wasn't God. Because everything God did was what? Good. And when he gave all everything he had to Adam and Eve, and they rebelled and transgressed against God, and as one writer put it, committed high treason against God and his kingdom, that power went to the devil via Adam. Not God. God gave it to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil. And so he's saying here, all this is mine. It's been delivered unto me.
So in this world that you and I are part of, in this world that we are in, the authority, the power to rule and reign has been delivered to the devil. And that's why if you do nothing, sin will prevail. If you have said any way you want to, if you have a sickness or disease come against you, and you do nothing, that sin, sickness, or disease will run its course and do whatever it does to you. Some cases take you out if you do nothing. When you face financial hardships and difficulties and things going on financially and you do nothing, it will drive you into poverty. Full speed ahead. If in your marriage that you are bickering with one another, mad at one another, upset with one another, talking bad and down and trash toward one another, and you don't stop it, and if you do nothing, you're headed for the divorce courts. Amen? Because this world has been delivered unto the enemy of our soul, the devil. And the devil hates your guts. You look just like God. You've been made in His image. You've been made in His authority, and you have His dominion. He hates you. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, you need to hear it. The devil hates you. I got news. I'm not in love with the devil. How about you? He said to Jesus, "It's delivered to me," and what else? "I'll give it to whosoever I will give it to." He picked up a German painter many years ago by name of Adolf Hitler. He said, "I'll give him some of this dominion." And this little painter came up with authority that dominated men, dominated a whole nation, and he drove that nation into the world wars that we faced with him as its headship there. Why? He had the authority. Where'd he get it? From the devil. When you see little things like that going on earth and you just wonder why in people's right mind do they do what they do? Why would people follow these mass killers to the grave? Because a wicked spirit had given that mass killer this authority over men, and these men and women were under the authority and didn't break free through the power of God. And they believed a lie and they were damned. Most amazing thing, life is not hard to figure out. It is really not. Why is it that people go absolutely nuts knowing? I mean, you know, why would they do things like they do? These last little issue that happened with this Women's World Cup thing, why would they stomp the American flag after just winning in the name of America? My God, what's going on in their mind? I know what's going on in their mind. The devil's working in their mind, what it is. About half that crew don't even know if they're a man and a woman anyway. So I ought to go through that thing and straighten them out. Literally, straighten them out. But anyway, verse 7. He said, "If you therefore will worship me, all this is yours." The point I'm trying to make to you is who's got the kingdom? Who's got the dominion? Who's got the authority? The devil got it. Where'd he get it from? He got it from Adam. Now, what has happened is this. When Jesus, this is during the temptation, when Jesus came back and died on the cross, and he was the second Adam that died on the cross, so to speak, as he's called in the book of Romans, and there he dies, he takes back what the devil had stolen from man. But now listen. But only in the realm of the spiritual for now. Now, everybody that says yes to Jesus are freed from the power of the devil. John 8:44 says, 8:32, that if we know Christ Jesus, we'll be free, and we'll be free indeed. Free indeed. In Him we are. If you are still in the world, you're still under the authority of the devil. Still under his authority. But becoming born again, accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, we are taken from that kingdom. What is it? Colossians 1:12-14. We are translated from his kingdom into the kingdom of his dear son. And so we're in a different... Now there's coming a day
I'm talking spiritually. There's coming a day when Christ himself literally comes back to this earth and sets up his kingdom, and spiritually and physically, every knee will bow. No choice then. Now there's still a choice, but then no choice. And so we are in a realm right now where we can make a choice in our life. And we don't have to have the devil to have his authority over us. Look with me in John chapter 12. Let me hit you just a couple things here. John chapter 12, verse 31. Jesus said it again, because some people read that and say, well, that's just a temptation of Jesus, blah, blah, blah. John 12, verse 31. He said this, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. So there is a prince of the world. Not God, not Jesus, not you. There is a prince of the world. It is the devil. John 14, 30. Hitherto I will not talk with you anymore, for the prince of this world comes. John 14, 30. John 16, 11. He talks about that Christ will come and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So three times we're told there's a prince of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4, 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of men, lest they would believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel would shine unto them, the image of God should shine unto them. In Ephesians 2, 2, we just read, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And so there ain't no doubt about it. What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses of scripture I've read. I could read more, but 6 I've read that talks about this place of authority that the devil has over the world. Ain't no question about it. Ain't no doubt about it. The devil is in charge of this world system. Okay? All this activity of wicked men on planet Earth, it's the devil's behind it. He's the instigator of it. He's the one that is orchestrating it, designing it, and implementing his plans into the hearts of wicked men and women. When you want to look at America right now and say, well, how come we're going so nuts in America? Why are people doing stuff that's absolutely mind-boggling? How in the world would they come up with some of the stuff they come up with lately? It's because the prince of this world has put it in their mind and so contorted and twisted their mind, they don't know right from wrong anymore. I still know. How about you? Yes. Hallelujah. Stand up with your authority. Oh, not yet. Rick almost closed his Bible. I got him right before he was right there. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to let you go over here before 4 o'clock. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Let me show you a few things here. The devil is in authority, the prince of this world, and under him he has fallen angels. The devil is a fallen angel. We believe him to be a cherub, one of the archangels that fell according to Isaiah and Ezekiel. We believe he had a high place before God in God's throne. And he rebelled against God, was cast out of the planet heaven, not the heavens around the earth, but the planet cast out to the ground, into this place, atmospheric place that you and I live on planet Earth. With him, if we understand Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, a third of the angels came with him, not counting the demonic spirits that are on the earth. You got angels, you got demon spirits, two different classes of spiritual things. And so you've got the devil, his fallen angels that came with him, demonic spirits. They are all in this great war and battle to take over God's kingdom. That's what they're wanting to do. They attack God's general, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as well as his temptation. Some believe that when Jesus was about to go to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and blood gushed forth from him. Did he pray in intensity? Yes, he did. I don't take anything from that. But some think that it may have even been the devil that was trying to attack him physically and kill him before he could even get to the cross. And several people did do that because he'd go to the highest mountain and the crowd would come against him to push him off the mountain and he would disappear among them. There were a number of attempts to try to kill Jesus before they could get to the cross, make the sacrifice for you and I, and then be raised 3 days later and his resurrection became our resurrection. His justification became our justification. He is righteous. He has made us righteous. His authority has now become our authority.
And so the devil was fighting for all of that. But in the midst of all of this, there is the devil's kingdom, and he has these high degree of angelic hosts that work with him. The book of Daniel talks about these folks as some of them watchers. Some of the watchers are still obedient to God, and some of the watchers have fallen with the devil. And they are high-level authorities in the earth. And you can look at planet Earth, and you can see different places, and geographical places on Earth, and you can see where this sin prevails, and here that sin prevails, and here this sin prevails, and here there is freedom, and here there is dominion over here, and here is there different things, rebellion, and different kind of slavery. And you wonder, why is there spots on the Earth? Because there's different demonic spirits under the authority of these fallen angels that are ruling, and they do what they do. They do what they do. In Daniel, three times you're introduced in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, and Daniel's fast and prayer. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Daniel is praying for an answer from God about the end times. God is about to give it to him, and he has sent one of his angels to come and speak with him. Gabriel, his name, is going to be coming speaking to him. But the prince of Israel is named Michael. He's the angel in charge of Israel under God, the good side. The bad side of it is while Daniel is praying and fasting for these 21 days, the reason it's taking him so long for his prayer to be accomplished is, verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, Iran, Iraq, that's the Persian area, depending on the borders of what year you're looking at it. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, there is a demonic power and a wicked authority that's over that area. Daniel was praying, and God sent his answer, and the prince of Persia wouldn't let the answer come through. Notice it. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But, lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Not the prince of Persia, but the kings of Persia. And so here you see where an angel from God is dispersed. Michael, a warring angel, is sent to get the message through to Daniel of what the latter days shall be. It took that. And do you know that when you and I pray, and under the blood of Jesus, there is so much more authority than what Daniel, I don't diminish him whatsoever, what a great prophet he was, my Lord. But right now, since the cross, there is a power that is available to all of us that when we pray, don't underestimate the devil. He will come against us. But you have power to come against him in the name of Jesus. You now have the authority of the believer. This was before the cross. Now you have the authority that Jesus has got for you. And so thank God. I mean, God do it any way he wants to do it. I'm not going to tell him how to run his business, of course. But you and I have the authority to say to any power of hell, out of my way in the name of Jesus. Back in the name of the Lord. Years ago, William Branham had this revelation. And I found it hold true. He talked about in the area of cancer. And he said, what is cancer? Cancer in the body is when cells begin to multiply faster than they're supposed to. And when they do, it creates growths and tumors and larger things and that kind of, in one kind of version of it for sure. And since it's multiplying more, the Lord, Brother Branham said, the Lord told him that it was a spirit. Just like a germ. We are a germ. We are a life germ. Okay? A good life germ. It's life. Brother Branham said the Lord told him it was a spirit, and when he was to pray for cancer, he was not to pray, Lord, heal this person of cancer. He was to pray, you spirit of the devil, come out. And if the spirit that was causing the multiplication of the cells was removed, then the multiplication of cells stopped. There was healing. To understand that, if that sounds really way out there, it's connected with this right here. Different devils and demons have different jobs and tasks and abilities of what they are to do. Some are bigger than others, if you want to call it that way. Some do different things. Look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 20. Then said he, know you not, wherefore I come unto you, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia.
And I am gone forth. Lo, the prince of Grecia is going to come. This is another one. A fallen angel that was in charge of Persia, now one's coming, going to be the prince of Grecia. And in verse 21, but I will show you, which is to be noted in the scripture of truth, that there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Who is Daniel? He is Israel. Who is Michael? He is the angel that God has dispatched the earth to watch over the nation of Israel. Why was there a three-day war in 1967? Michael. Why is it that Israel's a free nation today? Michael. Thank God. Why is it, thank God for your presence, but whatever. But why is it that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel today? Michael. He is specially dispersed to watch over that nation Israel. I don't know about messing around with Jim, but you don't mess around with Israel. Somebody say amen. Glory. Well, I got to get us out of here. Well, we're going to close. We're going to close. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We will close in the book of Ephesians. It only has 6 chapters and 400-something verses. But anyway, Ephesians 6, verse 12. So what does this say about me and you? Here's what you have to understand. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And Brother Hagin said years ago, God never did tell you to be strong. He told you to be strong in the Lord and in the power, not of your might, His might. So you and I can be the biggest weakling this world's ever produced. And yet in the Lord, we can be mighty in battle. Strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. So when somebody asks you, hey, I'm doing well. I'm strong. I'm mighty in battle. Oh, you think you are something, don't you? No, I think I am something in Christ. In Him, He is my strength. Look what it says, verse 11. What do? We put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That same devil that attacked in Daniel's day and orchestrated is still out there working today. And what's he got? Wiles, just the crazy stuff. Just the crazy stuff of the devil. Hitting you every direction he can possibly hit you. Trying to convince you in your mind all kind of things going on. Different kind of stuff. I mean, just wild stuff of the devil. That's what he said. But to withstand him, you have to put on this armor of God. Here's the problem, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It ain't people that we are against. Don't be going around rebuking your wife. She'll knock you in the head with a frying pan and rebuke you real good. Don't be rebuking your wife. Don't rebuke your husband. Your kids. You ever seen Christians getting a shout match, rebuking each other? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost. I rebuke you in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost and the blue flame Holy Ghost. Whatever that was. And I rebuked everybody all over Lawrence County. People still wicked. We'll get into that too. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It ain't people. It ain't people. If you get past that, that'll help you a lot in life. Whenever somebody does you wrong, or somebody says something wrong to you, get mad at you, holler, scream at you, just in society does you wrong. Whenever that happens, if you can just look past it, it's not them. And it wasn't you. Don't take it personal. They would have chewed out anybody, not just you. Might have been more fun chewing you out, but they would have chewed out anybody, not just you. Don't take it personal. Amen? Now, notice, here's what we do wrestle against. Principalities. Ruler over nations and large areas. Principalities. Powers over the heads of governments. Powers over leaders of government. World rulers against the rulers of darkness of this world. The darkness, the sin, and wickedness of this world, there are demonic spirits who are sent to orchestrate that, to be in charge of that. The other week, I was doing some studies in here about the lust of the flesh, and somehow something came up in Greenville, South Carolina, about some, I don't know, nightclub, bar, something called Lust up in Greenville. I didn't know there was a Lust in Greenville. I knew there was Lust, but I didn't know there was a place where everybody went and experienced it. But anyway, some kind of a lust bar room. I'm glad I didn't have them when I played music. But anyway, some lust this, lust that. All people did when I played music got drunk and shoot dope and drugs that I knew about. But that was enough, wasn't it? But isn't that a lust place? You go in there and get lust place and call for appointment for lust. And, you know, you can get signed up and get an appointment for lust now. Well, who designed that? The rulers of the darkness of this world. That's who built that building. That's who came up with that idea. That's who set it in motion. The rulers of the darkness of this world. See? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. In the earth. Not up to heaven now. But in the heavens that are around the earth. Spiritual wickedness in high places around the earth. Things are going on around the earth. Things are happening around the earth. You and I have the authority to change it. You and I have the authority to change what happens in our bodies. What happens in our pocketbook, or Sheila holds all my money. But what happens in our pocketbook. We have the authority to see what goes on in our marriage, in our home, in our children, in our lives. If we don't take it, the devil has already got it and is running with it now. It's time you and me stand up. Now we can stand up. Stand up in Jesus' name. It's time we stand up. Amen. God Almighty. Stretch your hands to the heavens. Let's pray a prayer here today in Jesus' name. God Almighty, we give you praise. Just worship the Lord right out of your heart. Just worship Him. Just breathe just sort of a soft prayer, not a quiet, silent prayer, but just a soft muttering of your praise and worship before the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name. Holy Lord God. Holy Lord God. Holy, holy Lord God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we give you praise. Give you praise, Almighty God. Pray this prayer. Say, dear Father, thank you for what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. Right now, all of my sins, I confess. They are under the blood of the Lord Jesus. Forgiveness is mine and cleansing is mine. Thank you, Lord God, for the new creation and the power and authority you have placed in me. And so in the name of Jesus, I give you all of the praise. And in your authority that you have given to me in high places, I take authority over the things, over the spirits of wickedness that have arrayed themselves against me. So in the name of Jesus, I call my body whole and free from all spiritual wickedness. I call my body healthy in the name of Jesus. No deformity, no malady, nothing against me that hurts and harms and hinders. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for good health and good strength. In the name of the Lord, I thank you that every day my strength is renewed. And I give you all of the praise. I thank you, Father, that no devil, no demon of hell can come against me. For I stand in the name of Jesus and in his authority he has given to me. In the name of the Lord, I thank you that I am blessed. My mind is at peace. My spirit is at rest. I am not a warrior. I do not fret. I do not come overly concerned about issues of life. I dwell in peace, perfect peace that Jesus has given me. I thank you, Father, that in my life, all of my needs are met. I have no concern, no worry, no fretting. My needs are met. I am abundantly supplied for. I have all that I need and so much more to help others with. So in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise and glory. And I thank you that every knee has bowed. That is mine. By my choice, I have bowed and made you Lord of my life. And so in the name of Jesus, I command every force, wicked spirit, evil spirit, rulers of the darkness, of this world, in high places, they have no authority against me. In the name of Jesus, I am free, I am clean, I am holy, I am covered by the blood. Hallelujah! Say it again, hallelujah! Say it again, hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Oh my, walk in your authority. Walk in the victory that you have. Don't let anybody rob you from it. Amen.